Mr. Allen?
Jason, Eugene, and Tom. I didn't realize everyone was coming.
Where is he?
In intensive care.
Do they know what happened to him?
The doctor said it looked like Richard fell out of a moving car.
Fell or was pushed?
Is he going to be all right?
They don't know.
You can be sure Jellyfish is behind this.
Jellyfish?
He's the guy who was responsible for all the vandalism around town, although we haven't been able to prove it. He tried to rough up Lucy the other night.
But Richard saved her.
Saved her? Sounds like something he might do to her.
You know, Tom, I really think you're way off base about Richard. He's been trying to help us. My guess is whoever did this to him did it because he was being a nuisance. Maybe getting too close to something. Come on, Eugene. I think we should do a little investigating about this.
Aye, aye, sir.
Hey, nurse.
May I help you?
Yeah, I want to find out about a guy you brought in here, Richard Maxwell.
Well, what would you like to know?
I want to know if he's okay.
I'm sorry, but I'm not permitted to discuss patients' conditions. You can go up to the intensive care unit on the second floor and ask there.
Thanks. For nothing.
Then we'll have Billy tell them to... Well, look who's here.
Sorry! Wrong elevator!
No, you don't. Come on in, Rodney. There's plenty of room.
Hey, let go! Cut it out!
Push the button, Eugene.
Jason, what are you doing?
Just push the button, top floor.
If you insist.
Leave me alone! I didn't do nothing!
Oh! Oh, yeah? Richard Maxwell's upstairs looking like you did do something.
Let go! You're an adult! You can't do this to me! Eugene, you're a witness!
Witness to what?
Now, you listen to me. You've gone over the line this time, and one way or another, you can be absolutely certain you're going down for this. You and the Bones are going to jail. Stop the elevator, Eugene.
Yes, sir.
Look, I had nothing to do with what happened to Maxwell. It wasn't me!
Well, then who was it?
It was Jellyfish, honest. I saw the whole thing. Maxwell went to Wits End to get Jellyfish's laptop computer.
Laptop computer? Now, why would he do a thing like that?
Because it has stuff on it that could be useful to us.
Us?
Well, yeah. Look, I don't like Jellyfish any better than you do, and neither does Maxwell. But he got caught by Blackard and Jellyfish, and they took him away. I followed him, and the next thing I know, Maxwell's flying out of the car and rolling down the hill. That's when I left.
How compassionate of you.
I'm going to start the elevator now. And by the time we get back to the bottom floor, you better have told me everything you know. You understand?
Yeah.
Okay, Eugene, let's get out of here. But take it slow and easy so we don't attract attention.
Right. I must say, Jason, that waiting in a darkened car in the middle of the night whilst you conduct covert reconnaissance on the Harlequin Theater, which at the moment is full of our enemies, is, to borrow the colloquialism, hardly my idea of a good time.
I had to get a look at that laptop.
And did you?
Only through a window. Jellyfish was working on it in the office, moving files around.
Well, at least that much is verified.
I'll give him credit for one thing, though. He sure knows how to keep himself covered.
Meaning?
The files he was manipulating had names like Edgebiter and Bones of Wrath. I guess he has a pretty good record of what's been going on, just in case things don't work out with Blackguard.
Edgebiter? As in the Edgebiter Company? As in the Edgebiter Company that has led to the scandal that has led to Tom Riley's recall as mayor?
Uh-huh. But the point is, Richard Maxwell had pretty good reasons for wanting to get a hold of that laptop. It could clear up everything and save Tom Riley's place as mayor.
So, essentially, Richard was injured trying to help Mr. Riley.
It looks that way.
Perhaps someone should tell Mr. Riley.
Sounds like a good job for you. In the meantime, we have to figure out how to get our hands on that laptop.
I'm sure you're aware of the myriad problems inherent in that desire.
I know, Eugene.
Also, it will do us no good to merely see the information. For it to be truly useful, we must have a copy of it.
I know, Eugene.
But unless you have the exact name of the file you're looking for, which we don't, you'll have to copy the entire hard drive, an often prohibitively long process.
We won't have to copy the hard drive.
But how can we avoid it?
The laptop has an infrared data port.
Really? Only the latest models are so equipped. But even so, I still fail to comprehend how that can help us.
I have a device that will access data through an infrared port and transmit it to a receiver by high-frequency radio waves.
Indeed. May I ask how you acquired such a device?
No, you may not.
Oh.
Let's just say I'm very well connected.
Well, obviously. And can your connections protect us from the legal ramifications of such actions? Tapping into another's computer sans permission is against the law, you know.
Not if you have a court order.
You are well connected. Have we sufficient grounds?
Well, how about suspicion of fraud, conspiracy, malice, racketeering, domestic terrorism?
That's a good start.
It'll take the rest of the night to get the orders, so we won't be able to plant the infrared device until tomorrow. That brings us to the next problem.
Namely?
Well, the device is small enough so that it won't be noticed, but it has to be set up in line of sight with the infrared port on the computer.
Which means someone will have to go inside the office and set it up.
Right. So the big question is, who can we get to go in there who they don't know, who hasn't had anything to do with this mess and won't draw suspicion to himself?
Yes! I believe I know the very fellow we seek!
You want me to do what?
Just place an infrared transmitter in the office at the Harlequin Theater, Mr. Walton.
Eugene, have you been reading those science fiction magazines again? Now, I warned you what they can do to your mind.
It's not science fiction, Bernard. Here, you see this?
Yeah, looks like a paperweight.
It is, on the outside. But inside is a device that will allow us to get some very important information off a computer in Edwin Blackard's office.
Uh-huh.
Information that could clear Tom Riley, and maybe explain what's been going on around Odyssey and Wits End.
You mean the vandalism and everything?
Precisely.
Well, I'm all for that, of course, but I think you guys are forgetting something.
What's that?
I was Tom Riley's campaign manager. Don't you think that'll make him a little suspicious, too?
Perhaps, but I believe their suspicion will be lessened considerably because you were a window washer long before you were a campaign manager.
What?
What Eugene means, Bernard, is that you haven't been involved with Tom lately, right?
Well, yeah. Not because I haven't wanted to. I just didn't know how I could help.
But now you do.
Bernard, I won't pretend there isn't any risk and even danger involved here. But you're the only one we can count on.
Look, I'm not afraid of the danger or the risk, Jason. I just don't know anything about computers. Ask Eugene.
Well, you don't have to know anything, Mr. Walton. That's what makes you so perfect for this job.
Thanks a lot, Eugene.
Huh?
All you have to do is set the paperweight behind the laptop computer on the desk.
On the desk, huh? Well, that makes sense. Edwin Blackard's desk has so many awards and knickknacks on it, they'll never realize this is even there.
Exactly. The device will gather the data in the laptop and transmit it to a van down the street. We'll do the rest.
Yeah, but won't they know you're copying files from their computer? I mean, what if they come in and try to use it?
If they try to look at a file we're looking at, an error message will appear.
Well, then what?
Then they may assume that the computer has malfunctioned and shut it off. Or they may realize that somebody else is looking at their file.
Either way, if that happens, we're in trouble. But it's a risk we'll have to take.
Yeah. Well, would it help if I got everybody out of the room for a half hour or so?
Can you do that?
Can I do that? Boys, tomorrow morning, just sit back and let the master take over.
It is mind-boggling, Dr. Blackett. Simply mind-boggling.
Let me see if I understand you correctly, Professor Bovril. You're saying that the uses of this mineral go far beyond my application.
I'm saying your application doesn't even begin to scratch the surface. I have inserted the mineral's chemical structure into more than 30 different formulae previously thought untenable. And, well, at least on the computer, they all work. We will have to conduct tests in the laboratory to make certain, but this mineral may very well be the most incredible discovery of the past 100 years.
Wonderful. Simply wonderful. First things first, though. We must have control. Then we'll be able
Hello? To... Hello? Anybody here? Edwin? It's me!
What in the world is that?
I don't know.
Excuse me.
No! Oh, you ought not sneak up on a fellow that way.
Can I help you?
No. I just wanted to let you know I was here, Edwin.
I'm not Edwin. I'm Dr. Regis Blackard, Edwin's brother.
Really? Well, scratch my ears and call me Sparky. If you two ain't the spitting image of each other.
How kind. Now, if you don't mind.
Say, that's right. You're the one that's running for mayor now, ain't you?
Yes, but at the moment, I'm very busy.
Well, I'm right glad to meet you. I'm a loyal voter and a hard-working citizen, and I just want to shake your hand now.
Well, thank you. I thank you very much, Mr.
Walton, Bernie Walton. I got to tell you, you made some great speeches over the last couple weeks. Great.
Well, it's nice of you to say so.
Yeah.
Bernie, meeting someone such as yourself is always such a a unique experience.
Oh, sure.
And now, if you'll excuse me, Bernie, I'm really quite busy.
Oh, don't mind me. I'll be out of your hair in no time.
Out of my hair?
Yeah, just as soon as I wash your windows.
Wash my windows?
Well, that's what I do. Bernie Walton, window washer. Didn't Edwin tell you?
No, he didn't.
Yeah, I come every Tuesday at 9, except past couple of weeks.
Well, how nice for you. Listen, Bernie, as much as I appreciate it, I don't need my windows washed.
Are you kidding? Of course you do. I mean, just look at them. They're dirtier than a kid in a mud puddle.
Well, then, I don't want my windows washed.
Well, that's not up to me.
I know. Yeah. It's up to me.
No, you'd be wrong there. That's up to Edwin.
Edwin?
Well, he's the one that signed the contract. He's the only one that can break it.
Well, I'll tell him that you did a wonderful job.
You mean you'd lie?
Oh, no, of course not.
Ah.
Look, why don't I just go ahead and pay you, and then you can wash the windows later? Or better yet, not at all. Just consider it a bonus.
Oh, no, sir, I couldn't do that. Bernie Walton has never reneged on a contract in his life, and I ain't about to start now.
Bernie!
Dr. Blaggard, as the future mayor, you ought to know how important it is to keep your commitments. Now, that's all I want to do, is honor my commitment with the Harlequin Theater. Now, you want to stop a loyal voter from doing his duty?
Oh, all right.
Oh, great. Let's see, I got my bucket, squeegee, and cleaner, and mask, and goggles, and I'll just start right in here.
The office? Oh, can't you start somewhere? Oh,
good grief. What in the world is that smell?
Smell? Oh, you must be my cleaner. Dirt be gone. Best stuff in the business.
I can't breathe.
It's stinging my eyes.
Yeah, it's pretty strong.
Yes.
That's why I wear the mask and goggles, you see. Listen, why don't you guys just go on out into the theater, and once I'm finished, wait about a half an hour, 45 minutes, and come back in.
Yes, all right. I've got to get out of here. Come on, Professor.
My computer.
Oh, don't worry. I cover everything up with towels and stuff first, you see? It'll be all right. You go on. I'll close the door so you won't have to smell it anymore. See you in a few. Right. All right. I'll take the device. Set it behind the computer on the desk. Okay. All right, guys. It's up to you now. I just hope this thing works.
Are you sure, Eugene?
Positive, Jason. I've searched through the laptop's hard drive 4 times now.
All right.
Mission accomplished, boys. You got anything yet?
Nice job, Bernard, and no, we haven't. At least not what we wanted.
What?
Jason is right, Mr. Walton. The information we seek is not here.
There's nothing about Edgebiter or the recall or the vandalism.
You can see for yourself. All that is here are a batch of chemical formulae.
Well, what does this mean?
Well, either we've accessed the wrong computer.
Now, there was only one computer in the room.
Or Richard was wrong.
Most interesting.
What, did you find something?
Well, nothing in our search, but I have noticed something peculiar about these chemical formulae.
What?
Well, they all seem to have a common denominator. You see, this equation here appears in every single one.
So?
Well, perhaps nothing, but I believe I've seen that equation before.
Eugene, I don't see how this...
Yes! I know where I've seen it before.
Where?
Right here. The college's lab report on the unusual mineral in the Underground Railroad tunnel.
What? Just whose computer have we tapped into here? Bernard, who was in the theater?
Well, Blackard, of course, and someone he called Professor.
Bovril.
Most interesting.
What is it, Eugene?
Well, I'd have to run tests to be certain, but in each of these formulae, the mineral appears to act as a catalyst.
A cata-what? Oh, what is that?
Well, put simply, without the mineral, none of these formulae would work, or at least they wouldn't work very well.
But the report says the mineral by itself is inert. Useless.
Inert. Of course. That's what he meant. The silent one.
The silent one?
Something Reverend Andrew told me when I was in the Imagination Station. I have a transcript here in the computer. You see? He said the locals called the mineral the silent one.
And the Indian word for it, ru-ka?
Unfortunately, that was part of the code Richard and I couldn't completely salvage.
Ru-ka. Ruku. Ruku, of course! That's how Dad could work with it so effectively. It was right under his nose.
Sure, right under his nose. Now, wait a minute, Jason. It's getting so you can't tell the players without a program here. I thought Glossman was the one who wanted to get into the tunnel under Wits End.
No, it's not Glossman. It never has been.
What?
It's Blackard. And I know exactly what he's after. Eugene, I need you to make several copies of the information you got from Blackard's computer.
Where are we going?
Back to Dad's house. How are those copies coming, Eugene?
I'm just finishing the third one.
Well, that's enough for now. We're almost at Dad's house. The two of you need to take the van and go watch Wits End. Eugene, use the car phone to contact Billy. Tell him to have the Israelites surround the place.
With the outer fencing still up, we won't be able to get very close.
Well, now, I know how to get closer.
Hmm?
There's a maintenance road leading in from the other side of the park. I use it all the time. It's pretty secluded, too. We can get in and watch without being noticed.
Good. Now keep an eye out for any trucks leaving the area. Record their license plate numbers and call me.
What are you going to do?
I've got some things I need to tend to. I'll be around. Now, take off. And be careful.
Now, Jason, you be careful.
Indeed.
Don't worry about me. Go on now. Right. To the bat phone.
Odyssey Police, don't move.
What? What's going on here?
Jason Whitaker?
Yes. What is this?
Lieutenant Shaw, come with us, please.
Where?
Police station. We need to ask you a few questions.
Questions? About what?
Making death threats against mayoral candidate Dr. Regis Blackard.
What?
Jack? Hi, Tom.
Doc said Richard's out of the coma.
Uh-huh. But he's sleeping.
Oh. I thought maybe he and I could have a little talk.
Oh. Then you know.
Eugene told me.
Hmm.
It's taken all day to sink in. I feel pretty foolish. All this time, I've refused to forgive him. And now I find out he's got this way, trying to help me. I'm responsible for this.
Oh, no, Tom, there's no point in compounding the problem by taking on blame that isn't yours.
But it is mine. If I hadn't treated Richard so badly, this wouldn't have happened.
Are you guys gonna talk all night? I'm trying to sleep.
Richard.
Hiya, Mr. Allen. Mr. Riley. Nice surprise.
Yes, it is. And I believe he has something to tell you. I'll leave you two alone.
So, you turned out to be quite a hero.
Some hero. I got caught. Pretty sloppy.
Look, it might be better if you don't talk right now.
But
just listen for a minute. I never meant for things to end up like this. I let my stubbornness and my pride get in the way. I've sinned against you, Richard. Against you. And against God. And I just hope that somehow... Well, I hope you can forgive me.
Nothing to forgive. Deserved it.
No. No, no one deserves to be treated like I've treated you.
Let's forgive each other, okay?
Okay.
Tom, Richard, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm going to have to go.
Oh, that's all right, Jack. I can stay here with Richard for a while. What's going on?
The police have taken Jason into custody.
What?
Lieutenant, we're here. Now, will you please tell me what this is all about?
It's about this cassette tape, Whitaker. Blackard's people delivered it to us a couple of hours ago, and, well, it's pretty serious. Listen.
Jason.
So, it really is you.
In the flesh.
Why are you still alive?
Now, Jason, just calm down. What did I ever do to make you so angry with me?
Stop the charade. You don't know what you're getting into. Mayor of Odyssey? You'll never win.
Please, I just want to live a normal life.
You can't hide. Stay on your toes, Doc. I'm going to be watching you.
What am I supposed to make of that?
Oh, I can't believe this.
What?
He set me up.
Now, why would Blackard want to set you up?
Because
It's too hard to explain.
Try.
Okay, you want an explanation? There's a phone number you need to call.
Your lawyer?
No. The National Security Agency.
Visitor, Whitaker.
Visitor?
Hello, Jason.
Jack.
Thank you, officer.
Yeah, well, I'll be right outside.
So, how are they treating you?
Fine, fine. Oh, man, this whole thing is just so idiotic. I mean, it's totally idiotic. I mean, the very idea that I would threaten Blaggard is just...
Idiotic?
Yes! Can't they see that?
Oh, they see it, Jason, but they have no choice. They have to check it out, you know that.
I know, but it's so frustrating.
I'm sure it'll all be cleared up soon.
I know it. But it's not just that, it's that...
What, Jason?
It's just that I've been such a sucker. Trapped by a cheap trick, I walked right into it.
You made a mistake.
Yes, I did. So, aren't you gonna say it?
Say what?
I told you so.
Okay, I told you so.
You didn't have to say it.
You just told me to. You feel better?
No. Jack, why didn't you just tie me up and lock me in the closet?
I didn't realize that was an option.
Look, I've been arrogant, prideful, reckless, a complete know-it-all.
Well, not totally complete, obviously.
Thank you. You know, I thought I could handle everything. That I knew how to fight it. But I don't. You were right. I was ignoring where the real battle is. Jack, can you forgive me?
Jason, do you really have to ask? Of course I do.
Thank you.
Now don't worry. I'm sure the police will sort out where the tape came from.
I don't care about the tape. That's the easy part. Blaggard pieced it together from a conversation we had when he first came back into town. It's the rest of it that has me concerned.
You know, Jason, now might be a good time to tell me what's going on. It's not like you have anywhere to go.
You're right. Jack, there's a lot I need to tell you. About me, Dr. Blaggard, even about Dad. You may find it hard to believe, but it's all true.
I'm listening.
Before I tell you, though, I think that there's something we need to do. Something I should have been doing all along. Will you pray with me?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Oh, Father in heaven, I really need your help right now.
This is Kurt Morse, live at the Harlequin Theater, where mayoral candidate Dr. Regis Blaggard is about to make a statement about Jason Whitaker. He's making his way to the microphones right now. He doesn't look very well, very pale and stressed. He's at the microphones now, and here's a statement.
Fellow citizens, I have been just as stunned and distressed as you have at the events that have transpired. Even as the incident was happening, I was hoping, praying that it was all a bad dream. But it wasn't. I bear no ill will towards Jason. I believe he needs professional help. My sincerest hope in this situation is that justice will prevail. Ah.
He's collapsed. Dr. Regis Blaggard has collapsed.
Somebody call an ambulance!
What's the matter with Dr. Blaggard? Is he faking it again? Will the police let Jason go? I'm glad he and Jack have made up, and that Tom has forgiven Richard Maxwell after all these years. Finally, a few bright spots in the middle of all this intrigue and mystery. How will it all turn out? There's only one way to know for certain, and that's keep listening. Adventures in Odyssey is a presentation of Focus on the Family. The Last Resort was written by Phil Lawler and Paul McCusker, and directed by Paul McCusker. Our production engineer was Mark Brewery, and our executive producer, Chuck Bolte. And I'm Chris, hoping you'll join us again next time for more Adventures in Odyssey.